G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show, completely packed for work and the weekend. This podcast is brought to you by the new Mazda BT50 SP, the complete package. Today on the show, it's the 6 points leading into round 11. If you haven't subscribed, please do that wherever you listen to your podcasts, leave us a rating and leave us a review. All right, let's get stuck in. The Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined by Xavier Ellis and Chris Robinson.
Gents, boys, how are we? Just been watching the basketball, which is going to be one of my topics in not too long. We can discuss the basketball.
Is this actually going to be one of your topics?
Yeah, no, it is. Absolutely, because it just it highlight the toughness of AFL players.
Speaking of controversial topics,
yeah,
like that one, I have to say, like, I think the hooking up, what is hooking up, debate.
I was going to do it on radio the other day and get like a really broad section of the
audience. This has sparked more debate on social media than anything we've done before.
Yeah, and I still can't believe that you're sitting in your camp.
So,
many people are.
For those people who didn't hear it on Monday, explain it.
So we were talking about
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Rourke Walsh, a relative of Rourke Walsh's, who... We're talking about how his family don't get COVID.
That's right. That's right.
And so his brother hooked up with someone.
So now I'm confused what you mean by
that. Well, that's
like,
right, because I described it as the whole thing.
That's right. You called it the whole thing.
Because I thought I had to clarify to what level
you didn't.
You guys
to.
Were arguing that hooked up only means the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of a spectrum. And to be honest, the replies have been about 50-50.
I think it's a reflection on you.
It was one in five in this room. The wider community is with me. As someone who wasn't here for the earlier podcast.
It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing.
You don't even need to think about it, do you?
No. Nah, sorry.
It's sort of blue light disco in year 8.
Maybe it's a Queensland thing. Maybe this is your background and your origin. It's different across different states.
Mate. Your religious background, I don't know.
Yes, that's it. It's coming out. I think this is more a debate.
You were buoyed by the support that you got on social media. Is that what you're saying?
I was. Okay. There's a lot of people who were coming in.
Or your banner accounts just coming
that's
to the
right.
fore.
Yeah.
Someone did write. At least we know who's in charge of the Twitter account.
Sporadically.
Yeah.
All right. So if you have thoughts on that matter, get us at Hardball Gets AFL on Twitter or Instagram. We're giving 6 points.
Do a poll on Instagram.
We'll do a poll on Instagram. Yeah. Is it a spectrum or is it?
The
whole thing.
Yeah.
All in brawls, I think, are completely different.
Oh, that's an orgy.
All right, so this is 6 points where we debate 6 points going into the weekend's fixtures. Zave, why don't you kick us off with your NBA?
Okay, the NBA, right. So NBA playoffs are going on at the moment. Firstly, would we like to see introduced into the AFL a best of anything or just standalone games of the winner?
Yeah, I think a standalone grand final. I don't like the idea of coming back for the grand final.
Okay. Footy's too hard to do series, isn't it?
Yeah.
NBA you can play every second off. Game, whereas footy's more akin to NFL where it's just one game.
Have you shot hoops down the local park recently?
Yeah, I did yesterday.
That takes it out of you. I mean, up and down the court, that's hard work.
I was shooting hoops yesterday on the court where Rhino and Nick Nat had their famous duel in that Channel 7 ad. Yeah, the famous court.
Well, they're like old men on the park bench. They're still talking about it.
there's a lot of bricks around from where Ryan was just shooting and just laid a few.
One day, it's a grandpa sitting on a bench and he's like, one day, young man, this tall black man turned up. And he was the worst basketball I've ever seen.
Ryan took him to school.
Nah, both of them suck. Anyway, so no, it's standalone games, fine. Now, I've been thinking about this and I'm in a group chat with a lot of people around an NBA group chat because we all love it. I'm just going to put it out there. NBA is the softest sport in Australia, in the world. NBA is the softest sport in the world. People go, oh, soccer? Nah. I can't have one day ankle injuries.
Yeah.
I can't have Tatum going off like he's actually dislodged his shoulder and then running
and then
out
coming
to
back five minutes later. Yeah.
I cannot have Horro sitting on the sideline with a sore groin and he's warming up every day. You've either done your groin or you haven't done your groin.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler stopped playing at halftime. Just said, oh, inflammation of the knee. Played 36 hours later. It is the softest sport. And Marcus Smart, how often do they go down? Grant Williams holding his arm, eyes, head. Softest sport in the world, NBA basketball.
I don't think I can go with you against soccer. I think soccer's still got it covered.
But they get up and keep going.
They do.
They try to suck you in.
I guess what surprised me about basketball is that with some of those ones that you mentioned is that basketball gives you the luxury to, it's different to footy, it's different to soccer where you can sit on the bench and you can try and go. So they can, if you're half injured in basketball, you can at least try and go for a couple of minutes. And
don't even say half injured. Not,
or a quarter injured. But you can sit on the bench. You're not one of, you know, 22 guys, and then if you're not playing, that's a massive, you know, loss of numbers. Mm. You can sit on the end of the bench and try it for 2 or 3 minutes, and if it's no good, it's no good.
There was a famous coach that said there's no such thing as a 1 week ankle injury. Mate, these basketballs miss one day and come back like they're God.
Paddy Cripps had a 1 week hamstring.
It's
just an awareness. It's ankle awareness.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's awareness that an ankle is strapped
to. Well,
and
then it's better in it. It's just the awareness disappears in 24 hours.
So what's this? There's a famous one that we were talking about off air in terms of people potentially overplaying an injury, being Mitch Brown at West Coast in the AFL. Oh,
yes. Now, Mitch Brown, should I tell it quickly?
Yeah, I think we've done, roll through it. I think we've told it before.
So in a derby, Brownie was doing a really good job on Hayden Melanthon. And went into a contest. And in fairness to Mitch, he had done an ACL earlier in his career. And he was about 28. So getting towards the back end. Mm-hmm. Anyway, went down, grabbed his knee, screaming and rolling in pain. Anyway, the games have stopped and the two teams have like divided into their, like someone's broken their leg or we need to get a chopper in here.
The huddles, yeah.
He's lying there. Out comes the stretcher and the little golf buggy. They rip him off, and there's photos of Brownie waving goodbye to Subiaco, waving goodbye to the fans.
Career's over.
Down the race, he's like rubbing hands with the fans over the sidelines. Gets into the change rooms, gets into the shower, is sitting on a seat with his busted ACL, crying his eyes out, and Jacob Brennan goes into the water, into the shower in his suit, and hugs Brownie because he thinks his career's over. Anyway, that night too, Brownie's house gets robbed. He chases a bloke down the street with a busted ACL, goes and gets his ACL scanned. He missed 1 week with an ankle injury. And then 12 months later, he does blow his ACL. He blows it into 1,000 pieces.
No one believes him.
Everyone's like, nah, I'll see you in a couple of weeks, mate.
He says he refused to get on the stretcher because all he could see was me sitting at home going, he hasn't done his ACL. Oh, Brownie. God, I love him.
One I wanted to bring up was list management. It's been in the spotlight a little bit this week because of the absolute mess going on at North Melbourne. So on Monday night...
Can you explain what's happened at North Melbourne?
So regardless of how they want to spin it, basically they've had three crucial people in list management and recruitment bail at the same time.
A week before the mid-season draft. Yeah.
So was that a setup by them, you reckon? To try and hinder the footy club as much as they could?
Oh, by the people?
By the three exiting.
Surely not.
Wouldn't you think you'd limp to the finish line?
You get through
and
that.
And then pull out?
I'd like to
think they've got a bit more class in that. Sure.
Whatever they felt like they weren't making the calls, and so they might as well not be there. That's the kind of vibe you get from it, right?
Yeah.
And I think the head of footy, Brady Rawlings, was there trying to say that trying to play it down as if it wasn't a thing because they didn't quit on the same day, like some people said. It's like, mate, they all quit within,
I don't know when they ended their notice, it was all
at the same time.
They turned up to the local pub in North Melbourne, like, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
We've all quit our job within the space of an hour. That's unusual.
So Kane Corns went on Footy Classified Monday night just to highlight some of the errors they've made in recruiting and
I think I could do recruiting. Some of those players that have come in, you go, how have you given, Aiden Corr, I don't know.
Five years,
what? That's just one example.
And the one they throw up is, I think Will Phillips is going to have a very good career to make him over Logan McDonald pick when key forwards are, as rare as hens.
The only thing is you're lucky they've got Larky, who's a youngster coming. It'd be fantastic. Yeah. But imagine if they didn't have Larky.
So the next day, then Glenn Luff, the head list manager, quit and said that was the final straw because he felt like someone was feeding Kane information, which is. But if it's that toxic that's happening, like clearly, like you've heard the similar thing.
Without enough.
I also had to laugh at a quote from, I think it was an anonymous source, it was probably closely tied to one of those three people who said that they felt like the club had agreed on we all win in recruiting together or lose in recruiting together, whereas it's like that. I feel like that's passing the buck a little bit as a list manager. Yeah, you're the head of the recruiting.
I've seen Celebrity Apprentice, and you need a name who cocked up.
So they all quit, but it's So there's a couple of things. Do we need to see, and we're slowly getting there, I think, as the there's like this engaged footy fan base online who are really all over this stuff. Like the list manager is a major part of any football club and their future and their destination. And it differs between clubs how much power they have. Sometimes they don't have a lot of power in the actual scheme of things. Sometimes they are the... We put you there, we trust you.
So I think the draft coaches should be completely eliminated from it.
Yes.
You tell us the caliber that you think you need.
Yeah.
But I do think that in terms of recruitment...
Free agents and stuff like that.
Yeah, the coach needs to work hand in hand with the list manager and the footy manager because obviously finances or whatever. So I understand why they sometimes feel as though they're not getting their side across or whatever. But if, for example, who's just off the boil at the moment? Fraction off them. St Kilda, for example, when I say off the boil, like off the top two or whatever.
Yeah.
If Brett Ratten comes and says, we need player A. Player A is available. Do we have the money? Yes. Well, I'm happy to give away the first round draft pick to get this player in. Then I can understand why the recruiter goes, oh, shit, right, I'm trading. I'm working with round threes again.
That
balance is a hard one over who gets to override who. Yeah. And I get the frustrations there. But, I mean, North Melbourne, they've got to work it out pretty quick, smart. And lucky they had picked one and Horne Francis was just the obvious pick.
And I think that's the biggest thing with a club in that position is when you have a super high-end draft pick, you need to see it straight away that those guys can be good. We've seen that with Horne Francis. We know that he's going to be at least good, if not great. But with Will Phillips, we haven't seen that.
What number was Will Phillips?
Three or four.
Three or something, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was three. You need to have that. For the fans, you need to go, this guy's going to be a stud, and you can see it early.
Well, I do think if they can land the number one draft pick, laughing. Then they got two number ones.
The thing with taking an early pick, so... Generally, when these guys go early, if they don't come on, a lot of it's down to development. Will Phillips was one.
It was a curveball, wasn't it?
It was a curveball, and if you're going to throw a curveball, don't throw it generally at a 180 centre. Like, like a small bloke over a key forward. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll always be able to fall back on the luck. He was a key forward at that point. We couldn't say no.
I'm still not out on him.
No, and he could have a very... But it also puts a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, but I mean, there's pressure. Every AFL football is under some sort of
pressure. This is true. And this is one of the suggestions about the list manager position. If they generally just didn't want to be talked about in the public arena like that and stepped away, then fair enough, but that's not what that position is going forward.
No, it's important.
And you look at how crucial it is and some of the clubs who haven't quite got it right at that spot. Like even West Coast had a really bad disruption through their list management with Darren Glass was there for a year, then he bailed. Then Rowan O'Brien, who was already had a job, took it on as just part of his job. And that obviously didn't work either because they made a few errors along the way, which could have probably been rectified had people been...
It's got a lot to do with the coaches.
The
coaches and what they need and what the list manager might think they need.
But your list manager has to be a little bit more accountable publicly.
No, I agree with that.
Carlton Collingwood, Sunday, everybody. How excited are we? It's going to be good.
Yeah, when I get there, 75?
70, probably low 70s would be my guess.
I'm going to go more.
You're going to go more than 75?
What day is it?
Sunday, middle of Sunday.
So a little bit like the Hawthorn Carlton 70-odd. Put Collingwood in
there.
They
could do.
Yeah. And this weather depending.
This is part of my point. So Carlton and Collingwood was one of the, if not the rivalry of the old VFL, right? This is like one of the great rivalries in footy. We've never really seen it, I'm speaking for myself here, in my lifetime, we've never seen Carlton Collingwood as anything other than a great historic rivalry. Yeah. It's never been a current rivalry. And this got me thinking, it's the number of seasons where both of these teams have qualified for finals is unreal. So in the AFL era since 1990, there's been four seasons where they've both been in finals together.
Is that
four.
It? And probably...
Where they've both been in finals.
Did 2010 Carlton play when Collingwood won the flag?
Who got in when...
Carlton got in 13. Yeah. I'm not counting that one. That's a fifth one, but they didn't qualify for finals in my mind.
But, I mean, even if so, Carlton made the finals and finished eighth and Collingwood finished first, it's still not a rivalry.
Going down further, of those four, there's only been one season where both of them have won a final, or more, and that was 2011.
So are we saying it's going to be any different this year, though?
Collingwood, but I'm excited. Collingwood showed a bit last week. They've got a really strong squad out there at the moment, minus Brody Grundy, they're pretty almost at full strength.
Is minus Brody Grundy the worst thing in the world?
Well, it's not. Okay. And you can make an argument for it. So they can, I reckon they can get a scalp here, Collingwood. This is the kind of game that they'd absolutely get up for. A lot of confidence coming off last week. Carlton are still missing a few. So Collingwood are 5-5.
They need, Carlton need Charlie. Like, that's just,
it's almost no Kerno, no Carlton,
you think, in these
games. If Darcy Moore can have a giant game down there, nullify Kerno, all of a sudden.
It's the small forwards.
They're open. So Collingwood are 5-5. So this is their next four, which is quite a test. Yeah. So Carlton this week, as we say. Then Hawthorn, Melbourne, and GWS. So if you can go, if you're Collingwood, if you can go 2-2 through there.
Well, maybe even 3-1.
Maybe even 3-1. And then the next four after that, I know we're projecting, but the next four after that and potentially getting Grundy back in this four, Gold Coast, North Melbourne, Adelaide, Essendon.
No, they win the flag.
No, but they can absolutely make it as a finals team. And we're probably not thinking of them as a finals team right now. They can absolutely be 11-7.
I went through it the other day when I was calling the game, and I went with Collingwood over Freo because their list actually looked
good.
Like the midfield of Taylor Adams, DeGoey, the Crisper, and then you got Moore, Elliott was back. Like they've got
talent.
12 players that were very good players when they were very good. It's just but I want to see Sidebottom get going. I was talking to someone about Sidey the other day and how unselfish he is. Like, he's just the most unselfish person. And you're like, I just want to be selfish.
Yeah,
like,
just be selfish.
I love Sidebottom.
Yeah. How do they get him more involved?
No, it's just the wing roll. He'd stay on.
But is he wasted though?
So he'd stay on the fat side
with the footy.
So Chris Maston and those guys. Deliberately stayed on the open side of the ground because they're running ability. So it wasn't about getting the footy. So Andrew Gaff was the one who kept going from side to side wherever the ball was, and it was Masto's role to get to the empty side of the ground and patrol that side as a more defensive mechanism. Sidey's doing that too much, but that's what he wants to do. So I just want to play my role.
So who's on the other one, Dacos?
Dacos, yeah.
I feel like Sidey's, you've got to use him a little bit.
Coach of the Year, I saw a post the other day. We're just overcomplicating it. We've got Goodwin 10-0, and people are making cases for Sam Mitchell. People are making cases for Chris Fagan.
People are making
cases for, and well, not Stewie Jew, but hey, put Stewie Jew in there. Close to re-signing, I read too, which is good.
Yeah, that's moving around in the background. We've talked about this a couple of times. Like they've shown enough that it looks like something's working.
And hard to judge that King there. But it's Coach of the Year. So Alistair Clarkson.
He never won it.
Has never been Coach of the Year. In the award ever. Is it just like, come on, guys. I know you love being really complicated with your game plans, but surely Goodwin's, there's no one else in the conversation.
But then why even hand out Coach of the Year if it's just going to be the Premiership coach?
This bloke's 10-0.
Yeah.
No, I understand that, but every year, why? if you're just going to make it the Premiership
but when
coach
was
every
last,
year.
When was last time we saw someone 10-0?
Oh, about 10
2011 or something?
Yeah. What was that one that?
Geelong and
St Kilda and Geelong were both like 11.
Met at like 13 each or something.
I've watched that game back a couple of times. Yeah. It pops up. That is one of the best games I've ever had.
The
Grandy. No, that was like round 12.
That was the Michael Gardner. Yeah.
It was unreal.
Am I wrong in saying that Simon Goodwin's by far Coach of the Year?
Yeah, at this point he is.
Obviously, Robbo's got a problem with it.
I like the kind of NBA model where it's kind of like relative to expectation. Melbourne's expectation coming into this season is they're going to go 20-2 and win the flag.
Yeah.
So who's the coach of the year relative to expectation then?
Probably easily Sam Mitchell.
Sam Mitchell's at the forefront. Michael Voss.
Vossy was the other one with Mitchell and Goodwin.
Yeah, and I think also considering, again, relative to expectation, Sam Mitchell has never coached before. We know he's a sharp footy mind, but he's never had the opportunity to coach a footy club. And I guess given where we thought that Hawthorn might be, the state of their list, Ratton absolutely as well.
Justin Longmuir, Dockers are sitting second.
Freo fitting fourth. Anyway, so who would you go with really quickly?
Right now?
Yeah.
Michael Voss.
Okay.
Josh Kennedy. So he's
Which one?
The one that's more recent.
The old one.
Out.
Which yep. one?
The Sydney's old one.
Yeah. Okay.
Out for 8 to 10 weeks with a hammy.
Saw that. Yeah.
Do you think?
Jeez, it looked like a bad hammy at the time. Where he couldn't even defend himself.
They came out to try and punch on with him, he's like, mate, no.
I was going to say, what did you think about? He was clearly injured.
Yeah.
What did you think about?
I thought it looked bad.
Remonstrating with a guy who's on the first when Kennedy's crumpled on the ground.
No, I thought he knocked out. I thought he knocked out Doherty. So I was like, get him. And Josh Kennedy's one of my good mates.
But so, even if he's crumpled on the ground injured, is that not penalty enough?
No, but once they realised he was like no
It didn't
good.
Take long.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
Okay. I felt like it was pretty obvious earlier that he was not in a good way.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
do you say? Do you say something? Does he say something? He's like, no, piss off, piss off.
Time out, guys. I think my hamstring's up my ass. It's gone. Yeah, it's just snapped off.
Can you do that?
Hit me anywhere. Just don't hit me.
No,
in the
but I did think the hit looked a little bit like, remember when Gaffey got knocked out cold by Jonas? You know, it looked as though.
It looked bad.
It looked bad. He got, 1 week for it in the end?
Yeah, he did. His hamstring's gone.
That was probably fair, the 1 week. But at the time, live, I was like, oh, my God, he's just absolutely mixed that bloke.
Mm.
So I can see why Carlton charged in.
If you're going to knock someone out in a contest, don't knock out a two-time cancer survivor. It's just not going to win you any public points at
How
all.
Good that Doherty got up and played it out, though. I thought that was going to be in the Doherty's night.
I thought he was going to be subbed off. I thought it was an obvious sub off for at least the 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So what was your point?
It's just like, what do we see happening here? He's, you know.
If he's 10 weeks, I don't think we see him again.
You think that's done?
Yeah.
You think he's in the grand final in the parade?
Yeah.
So you don't think they'll bring him back for finals? Whereas you think he might
finals? 10 weeks.
With a bad hammy.
So 10 weeks.
So that's round 20.
Well, see, my concern
21.
Is they already made up a kind of role for him, which wasn't.
That's
really
what I mean.
Working.
He wasn't inside.
Hmm.
What do you think about the sub potential?
That could be an option.
It's kind of like an X factor sub. You can chuck him where you like.
And a little bit like, oh, we're doing so well with that old 34-year-old Josh Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
But if the whips are cracking and someone goes down, you know he's going to be good.
Mm.
So, but I can feel that they're not going to rush him. And if it's round 20, 21, and they're sitting fourth, it's going to be bloody hard to get back into the side.
So it's funny. Like, remembered, like, he won a premiership, obviously, but then I remember him more for 2016. Like, the entire world was against Sydney. The umpires, the crowd, the entire football world wanted Sydney to lose. Something like that. And it was two for a half. He was the best player on the ground by three lengths of the straight.
By that far,
for three quarters he was.
Yeah, for three quarters of it. And if they were going to win, he was going to wheel them over.
He had him on the back, like a Gary Ablett Jr. stuff.
Must have been real close to winning the Norm, regardless of
Look, you go through it, you go Tom Boy, Johansson. And it's a little bit like in our grand final, Ablett was unbelievable. So I'd take the piss a bit when I'd put my
hand on Hawthorn.
I'd muck around a little bit. So Ablett was the best player.
Yeah.
But you lose the points, obviously, being in the losing side. Yeah. No doubt Josh Kennedy was better than Johansson. It wasn't close.
Yeah.
Like, not even close to being better. But it's one of those ones where it's just bad luck.
Was Kennedy's grand final better than all the medals that Darcy Parrish has won in losing
in dream time
medals where they've lost by 48 points?
Yeah, and his disposals have averaged like
and
6.5
meters. And his disposals actually done something? Yeah, yeah. I'd suggest so.
Shout out to Darcy Parry into my dream team this week.
Keep going, those small ones, small ones.
Yeah.
If he changes his game style this week.
Now you're all for it.
We had Sean Darcy in this morning, and I put Sean Darcy in my side last week. I was like, Darcy, mate, you were so shit last week. I need a big one from you. And sure enough, lifted.
Yeah.
Motivation.
Excellent.
Now you're
going
to get Darcy Parry on.
Indigenous rounds, I should say, terrific. Even better that it goes over two weekends now. There's a really easy way that you can make a part of it go beyond just the week or the two.
Yeah.
And it's the Indigenous jumpers. Why have we not seen a club?
Yeah.
And the club that I'm looking at here is Gold Coast. You could do it with GWS or Gold Coast, a club that has very little history. Why have we not seen a club embrace the fantastic Indigenous jumpers that they have and go, you know what, instead of this being a 1 week thing or a 2 week thing, this is our away jumper. This is our
home
jumper. And we're wearing this. Exactly. Gold Coast have got the most forgettable jumper in AFL history.
Two yellow strips down the side of the logo.
Mama Jew sewed GC on the front of them all.
Yeah.
Which they stole from a surf lifesaver. Some bloke was drowning. They're like, hey, mate, just give us your gear. We're going to play footy in it this week.
Why would you not just take that chance and just go, this is our jumper?
I think it'll happen, right? So
why would you not be the first one?
Why would you not race to that? Freo have got it. They incorporated it on their away strip this year. The strips down the side have all Indigenous art through them.
Yep.
Western Force incorporated it on their home jumpers. Yep. Perth Wildcats were the first
club. But just lean into it. Just take it with both hands. Gold Coast is a perfect candidate here.
Go home. Home jumper and get a home Indigenous community or someone to design it. Tell the story of the Gold Coast
100%.
On a jumper.
You've got no history to, you know, you can't see, a club like Collingwood doing it.
What do you mean? You can't mock them, mate.
Yeah. It's that famous game up in Cairns. It's sort of the foundation. Sorry,
not, not everyone. Not everyone beat Richmond after the siren.
Yeah.
I mean, what else have they got? That's just such a great opportunity to be one of. I mean, does any
they
other
had
club
a Brownlow medalist play for him, mate? He won a Brownlow on the Gold Coast.
Sean Lemons, did he get one?
No, he just missed out. I think he finished third.
Just squeezed out.
Aaron Hall,
Aaron Hall got 9 votes in 3 games.
He did. Anyway, embrace it. Go beyond just a week or two. These are fantastic jumpers. You've got nothing to lose. Lean into it. Love to see it.
I agree. All right, that's that. The 6 points. 6 points.
Yeah.
Six
hardball bets.
Let's do it.
Hardball bets. Thanks to the Tab Touch app.
It's a great intro.
You got a running tally? How are we going?
I'll get one for you. It'll pop up on Instagram.
Yeah, just the running tally. Yeah. It'd be good.
So I'm going Logan McDonald, 2+ goals is paying 240. For Sydney this weekend.
Another big Friday night from Logan.
He was great.
He was terrific last year.
It's funny. He almost felt like he needed to be the one to win it for him.
Yeah, it's like Buddy was sort of get out of his way, mate.
Yeah, don't mind that.
Going, mate?
I'm taking two underdogs at the line, multi him up. So Tigers at the 13-point line against Sydney and Frio with the 28.5-point head start against Melbourne. I'm multiing both of those up. It's 360 for Rhino.
All right.
Gamble responsibly.
Now, I'm going back to the well to a player who did so well for me last week. So I'm going to go Cam Guthrie, 30 disposals at $2.50.
Who have Geelong got?
They got Adelaide. So Cam Guthrie's runs around and finds the footy there. No way. And then I'm going to put my boy Chad Warner in to get 25 disposals. Mm. So just the 25 from my man Chad. And that'll take us to $5.63.
Okay. Chad is a player.
So you just put your, so this is what you do. You just put your money in and then they times it by 5.63 and then out it comes. Simple stuff. So
Chad Warner, so I want to see, I don't know how his middle brother's been going, who's also on Sydney's list, but his youngest brother's coming through. Always think the youngest one's the best.
Yeah, it was our podcast. I said, Chad Warner should be the one that you're trying to get home.
Yeah. Good line breaker, can use it. You've done your bit in Sydney.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, guys.
Thanks very much, everybody. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL show, completely packed for work and the weekend. This podcast was brought to you by the new Mazda BT50 SP, the complete package. See you next time.